Can I get a Kleenex there? So, thanks, Tim. John chapter 20. What does the resurrection really mean? I think we kind of all grabbed that Jesus died, brutally died, and then he was raised again. But what does that mean to us today? What does that really mean other than the story that we know? I think there's a lot more to it for each one of us. So let's take a look here in verse 11 of chapter 20. It says, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over and looked into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated there. Jesus' body had been where his body had been, but at the head and at the other end of the foot, there was no body, just a covering. And they said to her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'Well, they've taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they put him.' This she turned around, and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus." And that's interesting because we would think, I mean, she would recognize him. But the custom and the culture of that day was that a woman wasn't to look upon a man, and so she would have her head down. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she told him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned to him and said, in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher, master. And Jesus said to her, "Don't hold on to me." When you are grieving and when you have loss, we're hurting, you want to reach out and hold on to Jesus. He says, "I have not yet been glorified. I haven't ascended to my Father. Go and tell my brothers and tell them I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." What a promise. I'm not ascending to my Father and then I'll come back to see you, but I'm going to go tell my brothers and go tell them that I'm going to the Father, your Father and mine. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news. "I've seen the Lord," she said. She told them that it was what he had said, the things that he'd said to her. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, that same day, Resurrection Sunday, that same day that Mary Magdalene had gone to the tomb, that same day they were in a lockdown. They were in a room because there was a fear of terror because they were associated with Jesus. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them that his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed with what they saw. And again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed upon them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive one another's sins, they are forgiven. And if you don't forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, Thomas wasn't there. And we love Thomas's story because we can relate to him like we can relate to Peter. One of the 12 was not with them when Jesus came. So the others told him, "Hey, Thomas, we saw Jesus." And he said, "Unless I see the marks in his hands and his feet, and put my fingers in where the nails were, and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." You ever been there? A week later. I kind of find that interesting that he waited a whole week. Wonder what Thomas was going through. But Jesus waited a whole week before he talked with them. And again, they were in the house again, and Thomas was there, and the doors were locked again. And Jesus came in and stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you," because you see, when Jesus is in the room, there's peace. When Jesus is in the house, there's peace. When Jesus is in your life, there's peace. Then he said to Thomas, because he was there when he met with the disciples, only they couldn't see him this time. And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here." Wouldn't you be blown away? Put your finger here, Thomas. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. The scars are still there. And then he said, "Stop doubting and believe." And I don't think he did that in a derogatory manner. I just think he said, "Thomas, you don't have to doubt anymore. I'm risen. I'm not in a grave. I'm alive." So what do we know about this, and how does this affect us today? What about Mary? She actually spoke to him. She called him Sir. She recognized him. She addressed him as Rabboni. She hung on to him. And then she ran and told the disciples. What about the disciples? Jesus appeared to them. They recognized him. The room was locked, and even then he appeared to them. He ministered to them. And they told Thomas. And then there's Thomas. Couldn't believe them. Needed to see, needed to touch. Jesus appeared to him a week later, and he goes, "See and touch and believe." Jesus was the same physical being as was before the resurrection. I want you to understand that. He was the same. Same voice. Same physical body with scars. Same wounds in his hand. Luke 24 says it this way. They were startled and frightened, thinking they had seen a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why are you doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is myself. It is myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they were still, while they'd still not believe, it was because they were in full joy and amazement. He asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" I like Jesus because he eats all the time, kind of. He eats before death, he eats after death. I mean, this is... And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And this is important. And he ate it in their presence. The resurrected Christ ate and fellowshipped with them. In John chapter 3, verse 1, or verse 2, it says, "Dear friends, we are now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we will know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We will be like him. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven," in 1 Thessalonians, with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, will call out for God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, those who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and we will be together forever. Amen. That is a truth. And there's so much more to our resurrection and Christ's resurrection. In Revelations, it says this: "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." A new earth. Where, as you're thinking about when this worth dissolves away, what is going to happen? The first earth has passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among his people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them, and they will be his, and he will be their God. A theologian named Anthony Hokima says this: resurrected bodies are not intended to be just float around in space, to flit from cloud to cloud with a harp. They call for a new earth on which they live and work, a glorifying God. The doctrine of the resurrection of the body is, in fact, makes no sense whatsoever apart from the doctrine of the new earth. And I've been reading about heaven. I've been reading about heaven because I think we haven't really grasped the concept of the resurrection. I think we understand that Jesus went to sit at the right hand of the Father. I think we kind of think maybe he was still fully man and fully God. But I'm not sure that we kind of don't make him kind of a spirit being only. And when it says in Scripture that we will be like him, our resurrected bodies will be like his, like our bodies now, only glorified. So what does that mean? What does it mean to have a new glorified body? I think some of us think, oh, well, I'll get rid of this one. This one that's too big, too small, too short, too whatever. The reality is that God has a resurrection plan to raise your body up. Complete. We will know each other, it says in Scripture. So heaven is not a place where we're going to be disembodied from our body when he calls and the resurrection comes. Do you understand that? Can you get excited about that? I've thought about this myself. Some of us think that it's just going to be one long, boring church service. And we're going to sit all like this, more maybe newer pews, but we're all going to sit like this, millions and millions and millions of people, and we're going to sing only the songs you like, for sure. I don't know how he's going to do that. We have problems with our own technology here, but he can do it. And we're just going to be flitting around from cloud to cloud, and you are not going to be that way. You know what? When you die, you go to be with God, and then he's coming back to catch up his church, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So those who are gone before us are going to go to be with God, and we're going to get caught up in the air with them, and our bodies are going to change. Hallelujah for that. And we're going to be placed back in an Eden. Not the Eden, but in an Eden where there is this beautiful world that we live in. And God is not going to be away. He's going to be here. He's going to be here. He's going to eat with you. You're going to worship him. You're going to walk with him. You're going to talk with him. We have this hope, this living hope. So Thomas said this, and this is faith. My Lord, my God, because he'd touched, he'd felt, he'd experienced. Then Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's us. And then it says, Jesus performed many signs in the presence of the disciples. Isn't that just like Jesus? He just didn't do kind of a little visitation and say, hey, guys, we're, you know, this is the next step. I raised from the dead and you'll be raised from the dead. But he continued to minister to them and did signs and wonders, which are not even recorded in this book, it says. But they are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that on believing you may have life in his name. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that we believe in his name and we are saved. Where are you this morning? Can I help you not to think that you're going to be some disembodied spirit floating around for eternity? Can I help you understand, and this is Scripture telling us that we're going to have something to do, we're going to rule, we're going to reign, we're going to learn, We're going to enjoy the creation of God. Can you imagine what the creation of God is like without all the curse? It says in Romans chapter 8 that the earth is groaning for that freedom. That freedom's going to come in the resurrection. The earth is going to be changed. But it's going to be restored in a way that we'll be able to enjoy it still. I don't know whether we're going to need vehicles to travel back and forth or we'll be able to be here, be there. We won't be able to be in every place, but I don't think we're going to have the restriction. I know we're not going to have the restrictions that we have today. That's the promise. It's a promise for each one of us. We get to live a life with our God, Jesus, the God Father and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. And we're going to live it so that we can recognize one another. I'm not sure that there's lots of theology about that. Well, will there be marriages in heaven? Will we be married to that person? Well, I tell you, that's a theological nightmare for me. So I leave that to the scholars. I'll just wait till I get there and find out. Actually, I wouldn't mind being married to Elaine for all eternity. Because I really like being married to her now. I love her. I love this church. And that's because God loves me and has given me that ability to love you. And each one of us are going to go. Can you get excited about that? You're going to go to be with him for all eternity. And Caleb and Megan are saying, yeah, but not before August the 18th. But maybe before the exams, right? If we're all done. Graduation for them is on Friday at Christian Life Assembly. If you can come and just encourage them. I think it's at 6:30. So we invite you all to come and celebrate. I think that's going to be a great thing. We're really proud of both of you. And they're getting married on August the 18th. So they got a pretty busy schedule ahead. And Caleb comes on full time in May. Other than that, I think it's pretty quiet for them. And those are things to look forward to with expectation. But the ultimate is one day, some of us will go before. And I kind of struggle with this, that God is going to put our bodies back together. Because there's all sorts of different ways of dying, and our fleshly bodies don't look the same after we're gone. But he's going to gather everything together. And you're going to recognize me, and I'm going to recognize you. Go figure. Are we going to be this age? Or are we going to be the age we want to be? Are we going to be this weight? Or are we going to be the weight we want to be? Are we going to have this color skin? Or are we going to have the skin we want to have? Am I going to have more hair? Not on my ears? On my head? I don't know. But we kind of think about those kind of things because that's what we live with every day. But God's got this beautiful plan for each and every one of us that one day he's going to come for his bride. He's going to catch us away. And we're going to go to be with him. And there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering, no more parting, no more tears. That's the hope of the resurrection this morning. That is the hope that you have. Worship team, if you'd come back. Can we celebrate that? Can you celebrate that? Can you get excited about Jesus Christ coming back for his bride? You know who the bride is? Those who have accepted him as their personal Savior. I want you to stand. And I'm just going to ask this prayer. Pastor Stephen, why don't you come and lead us in a salvation prayer.